It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Happy Friday to you all. It's Oxcord Friday. Josh Santos. A great start, buddy. Kicking things off. It's Ailish alongside Brent Gunning this morning. Brent.
We're back.
The grinder.
Back.
You're back.
That's right. Ultimate grinder. Yeah. I was up late last night. We don't need to get into details there, but it was a quick turnaround for your boy. Yeah. Fired up to be here on a Friday morning.
That's part of the commitment you make as a grinder is you can acknowledge the pain we go through, but you find a way.
That's right.
Proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for filling in today. Big night. Well, it was kind of nice to have afternoon baseball. You know, we've been spoiled with that twice this week. I don't know. Kind of like changes your viewing habits a bit, eh?
Oh, I'm a big fan, especially when you got the Thursday nighter. Like, mm-hmm. The fact that you don't have to, and I mean, last night this would have been, unfortunately, an easy choice to bail somewhat early on the Jays, but you didn't have to make that choice. Yeah, I love it, especially now that we have the Thursday nighter back. We're only going to get more stuff going on in the evenings. Hockey's going to be back. Mm-hmm. Basketball's going to be back. So, yeah, hey, more day baseball, please, please, please. And, you know, I know everyone out there with, you know, one of those quote-unquote real jobs is saying, well, not too much. Much, but for me, I love it. I can't get enough daytime baseball.
Everybody works from home nowadays. Like, you telling me nobody was just kicking their feet up, moving their mouse on Teams? I know that trick. You move it every once in a while so your light is still green. And
go.
They were definitely chilling on their couch watching the Blue Jays. I mean, tough one to watch. 11-0 loss.
Not what you want.
Really got out of hand. Right, we almost saw a Bradley Zimmer pitching debut at the end of the game.
I would have loved to have seen that. I'm trying to think pecking order of guys. Like,
I think he's first up in
their
opinion.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, who would be the funniest to see. Like, I mean, I don't want to upset Alek Manoah, but I would love to see Alejandro Kirk on the mound, personally, myself.
Big time.
Like, Zimmer's, I always want to call him Zimmer.
Yeah, I know.
Zimmer has got that, like, he looks like he could have been a pitcher. He's got that long, lean frame. You could see him with, like, that Adam Simber style coming at you with all types of limbs. You can picture it. I need to see what Alejandro Kirk mechanics look like.
I bet he's got some power, right?
For sure he does. Of course. Of course he does.
I'm trying to think who else I'd love to see. I bet Matt Chapman would have, like, he'd actually put up some numbers.
Matt Chapman is standing there without, like, we always talk about guys working out of the stretch or with the full windup. Matt Chapman is standing there just flat feet, hurling 96 without thinking about it. Yeah, that would be a sight to see, obviously.
Honestly, he could be
seeds from third.
He could be, like, a good unsung backup option. Hopefully they never need to get into another 11-0 game, but
you're lucky you didn't pose this point to me before the trade deadline, or I would be sitting here pitching Matt Chapman as the late inning strikeout guy the Jays need. It's like, man, we always talk about somebody who needs that velo who can run it up there like Chappie. I'm so happy no one talked to me about this before the deadline.
Oh, bummer.
There's a 2% world I would have talked myself into it. I'm like, if Shohei can do both, why can't Chappie?
I think you're onto something.
Maybe.
We got to see Gabriel Moreno.
Winter project for him.
That's
there you
right.
Go.
That, oh, God. Moreno back in action. You kind of forget about the way his pop time.
Oh, yeah.
How he can just dial it in to second base. I'd love to see it. I think it was kind of a tough position as well to be put in with how the game went. Catching Gausman as well. I think they always mention that Gausman's, you know, kind of the best guy to catch him in Stripling, maybe because they're chill.
Yeah.
And they throw a lot.
Chill.
They're fun to catch, apparently, because they throw a lot of pitches and you know, they keep it pretty, I guess, unique in terms of their approach. And I don't think that they're, like, the type of guy that would be super intimidating to catch. But I think there's a bit of a tough one there for Moreno in terms of how it ended. But
oh, I mean, anytime there's a variable, like, Gausman's been great this year. Obviously, he's had his moments where he's not. But anytime a variable changes, like, there's only two guys involved with pitching a baseball game, and it's the pitcher and the catcher. And one of those changed from the last time Gausman was out there. So you're going to look at Moreno a little bit. You know, you mentioned the idea of, like, he's a fun guy to call games for. I imagine he is because he's so chill. But it's just you're not used to it. You know, I'm trying to think. I think it was in that second inning where he got touched up initially. Mm-hmm. There was one moment where it's like he's shaking. Just give me the splitter. Come on. Give me the splitter. And it's just that's not on Moreno. That's mm-hmm. just a guy who's not used to working with somebody. And look, I'll put my hand up. Like, I've been a guy who's saying you need to get Moreno on this team because you want to use Kirk's bat more. You want to be able to pinch run for him if the case may be there. So I like the idea of having a third catcher, but it's definitely a world where you see what happened yesterday, and I'm not putting all that on Moreno by any means, but you just see, yeah, it's a difficult thing to do, to call a big league game, especially when you haven't been doing it for that long, and to have Moreno in that spot. Again, I'm not putting this all on mm-hmm. him, but it is another variable that you see didn't go that the Jays' way. So it's definitely something to kind of be mindful of how much you want him catching down the stretch.
I wonder how much you can put on a catcher coming into a position like a rookie catcher as well, who's catching someone in a high leverage important game as well against the Rays, who needed that win. They're up. Shane McClanahan looked
like dialed.
Like the issue that we set up yesterday before the game was like, oh, you know, he's coming off the injury list. Like,
I could hear you talking yourself into it.
Oh, I was like, it's going to be great. Yeah, he's rusty. No, he looked Cy Young candidate that he was all season long. That's it. That's the problem, is you go up against a hot pitcher, and the Blue Jays hopefully will have the same narrative come the end of September baseball into October baseball, is you need timely hits and incredible starting pitching. And that's what the Rays did yesterday, and that's why they won the game. And he was unstoppable. The Jays couldn't even get one single run against him.
McClanahan was nails. I'm just trying to think. There was the one at bat, I think it was to Chapman, and he got him with 100, just right on the black. You could not throw a more perfect pitch. And the fact that you only get 5 innings of him, I mean, that's mm-hmm. that is the benefit you get with a guy coming off the injury that he had there. Obviously, the Rays are just happy he's back pitching at all. But that's the thing about Tampa, is just every couple of years, there's a new one. Like, Tyler Glasnow is coming back. He's going mm-hmm. to be this incredible force for them, either is a long relief guy or making short starts, however it is they tend to use him. And he and McClanahan is just the latest iteration of this. It's like, oh, here comes a fireballer who is exceptionally talented, and okay, you're only going to get 5 innings out of him. That's fine, because of the depth that team has pitching wise so it's just like that Rays voodoo magic. Now, McClanahan is beyond that. He would have been special anywhere with the stuff he has, but you saw it yesterday. That's exceptional pitching. And you know, you give up 11 runs, I know 6 of them come in the ninth, so okay.
Oh my god, I just end this game already at that point.
Please, awful. Oh please, there's nothing worse. You know, there's some it's funny, I just imagine the dynamics at play in the crowd, because I don't know where you're at on this, but like, there are people who will never leave a game.
I will, like, never leave a game.
If I see something special? I don't disagree. I want to be clear about this. But you know, there's a couple mm-hmm. or there's some friends in the stands, and half of them are like, come on, it's a beautiful day. Let's get out of here. Let's go to a patio. They're losing by 100. And you just know there are people in the friend group or whatever the situation is going, we don't leave. Okay. What if there is an 11 run comeback in the ninth and we left for it?
Or what if you get to see Bradley Zimmer pitch?
What if you get to see Bradley Zimmer
pitch? You know what? Historical things can happen in blowouts as well.
Very true.
And
very, very
if true. You're not there and you're watching from the bar, it's a different you feel shame. I think you feel shame.
And then you end up being a liar, because you like 90% of those people are like, oh, what are you talking about? Here's a picture of me there in the third inning. I definitely didn't leave at all. Yeah, it's like all those thousands of Heat fans all those years ago.
Exactly.
The title there, like, no, we didn't leave. That was all the other bad fans who mm-hmm. left, not I. Yeah, it's amazing.
And you know, pay there for was 9 innings. You pay for that experience. Get your minds worth.
I'm right there with you.
Your hard-earned cash.
Preaching to the choir here, 1,000%.
So some people might have wanted to leave that. I don't know. Text in 59959. It's always a polarizing topic. Will you leave a game early, get your day going, get to your patio, or are you a grinder, as we put it? You're gonna sit through that 11-0 loss. You're gonna soak it in. Maybe get a couple extra bevies and move on with your day. That's how I felt.
I just loathe leaving a game early. Like, it's happened because I don't want to be like the lone roadblock to, you know, 10
of
people
course.
Deciding they're going to have more fun. But
traffic.
I loathe it. I really do. Like, what? Okay, beat traffic to what? Go home?
You're still going to sit on the DVP, everybody.
Come on. Like, honestly, it's traffic in Toronto, okay? If there are sentient beings awake, you're going to sit in it, okay? You're not beating anything. I can't believe we're down this rabbit hole here. I'm so worked up at 6:10 about the thought of leaving a game early that I didn't even go to. But, yes, that's where we're at.
I'm going to the game tonight, and they've announced it's a bullpen game.
Could be a lengthy one.
It could be.
It's maybe a perfect topic for tonight. How long will you last?
I promise I will last the entire game. No wonder this outcome, the circumstances. Right. I will put it out here right now in the universe that I will be there till the final out.
All of you sleuths out there at Rogers Center.
If you
can catch Ailish leaving, I don't know, prize for you. I don't know.
There
you go.
I will definitely not leave early. I think it'll be an interesting start to this important series again with the Orioles. It's going to be tough.
It is funny. Obviously, it's really important from the Jays' perspective, but it is kind of funny that I don't think many people could talk themselves into believing we'd get to this point, but it's amazing how, these O's, they just won't go away. And it's like, well, you can kill them right now. This could be the series where they fly into the glass window and are no more. They cease to exist. It's right there. Just go take 2 or 3 and you never have to hear from this terrible baseball team again. Ryan Mountcastle can hit all the homers wants. Just score some more runs than that guy. Like, you don't have to outscore the whole team. Just outscore Mountcastle and you'll probably be okay. This is the chance the Jays have to just eliminate this team. If the O's are plucky and are within a couple of games as the season dwindles, they can get in. But there is no world where this team is making up five and a half games in 2 weeks. So just stomp them out in this series. Foot on the neck, whatever terrible analogy, whatever other graphic analogy you'd like me to use here just after 6 a.m. This is the series to decimate the O's, be dead and done with them. You don't have to think about this terrifying Batista coming out in the night, anything. Just rid yourself of them. This is your chance right here.
It's certainly an opportunity to say we're going to win this narrative of being bad against sub 500 teams as well.
Gotta stop it.
Rewrite that. Say goodbye, as you said, fly into the glass window, which I think is my favorite of the many that you presented. That starts tonight. An Apple TV game, so... If you're not going to the ballpark, it's not one that I enjoy watching too much.
No, I actually think we were doing a show and there was one of these games and it's like, it just didn't happen.
Like, honestly, though,
no, like, just like it ceases to exist. You
know, my parents, how do we find this? I'm like, I honestly don't know. Like,
quick side note. I know we shouldn't be giving too much pub to, where this game was seen on TV in Canada last night. But a lot of people were saved a phone call from dad or mom last night with the Thursday nighter. Because here, you could just watch it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
But in the States, you need Amazon Prime and a smart TV, I'd imagine. And I weep for these people. Because I get these calls when
it's like a scam.
It really does. It does. Oh, and it's, again, it was just hilarious. Like, look, there is no broadcast that doesn't have corporate tie-ins involved last night, but it's like Al Michaels being like, and there's the titan of industry, Jeff Bezos, with another great man in Roger Goodell. Just two men making the world go. I'm like, okay. Are we going to have to do, as long as we don't have to do this every Thursday night, I can eat it for 1 week of like, isn't Jeff Bezos great? Which, take it or leave it. But it's like, I could not believe that last night. It was just incredible to see. And yes, I was so happy I could just watch it on my television. Again, I'm not that old. I could have figured it out, but I'm thrilled I didn't have to.
Yeah, the first time of seeing that. There's a lot of interesting additions to that broadcast. Like, I don't think I'm a Dude Perfect fan. I'll tell you that.
I'm good on that. I'll be perfectly honest. I want no parts of that.
Yeah.
But hey, if you like it.
That maybe I'm outside of that millennial. I like to, like JD used to say, you're not a millennial. And I technically am a millennial. But last night.
You just snuck in there, eh?
Last night I said, no, not my demographic.
I it's funny, like these are just guys, I'm a huge golf guy, and they went and did a video at like Augusta National and desecrated the sacred grounds there with their dumb stuff. And hey, look, like if it's for you, great. But it is, let me tell you, it is not for me. So, yeah, I would just like it when they call the game and they talk about the game.
Keep
That's what I like.
The only thing
although
that I like.
I do miss Collinsworth and Michaels together. Yeah. Like, I know we got to get used to all these new pairs, but it just, it's like, you know, it's like you got friends, they're divorced. It's like, it's with this new person or whatever. And it's like, whoa, what's going on here? I liked Al and Chris together. I'm not used to Al and Kirk.
Yeah. There's a lot of new chemistry that needs to be formed. The biggest thing I think yesterday that came out of Jay's game, go back to that, is...
I don't know where I went there.
Oh, no, no. So I was all over,
too. Good job by you. Good job by you keeping us on.
But we'll get back to Thursday Night Football. But the biggest thing from Jay's, I mean, you can flush that game, move on. But
bye-bye.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Mentioning through Hector Gomez.
Oh, yeah. Buried the lead here.
Yeah. This is like the big, you know what? The game was the game. But if you were... looking for something to be excited about. Vladdy says, quote, I'm open to signing a long-term deal with the Blue Jays. I feel very happy to be playing here. I hope something can be done about it in the off season. Hector Gomez, who obviously is always on the beat there. I will say, I don't think I get as gung-ho about this than maybe most people, because of course he's going to say that. Like, of course anybody wants to sign a long-term extension. Like, I don't think I was as, yes, like, sound the alarms. Vladdy wants to stay here and sign a contract. I think that, to me, felt like already a pathway that we were on.
To me, so I go back to, I'm trying to think. I think it was Blair and Barker. They had Shapiro on. Maybe this was within the last month or so, sometime in that window. And obviously the question of extensions for all of these guys, but specifically Vladdy came up. And the thing Shapiro kept talking about, and look, you know, like we've all heard these guys talk. We know how it sounds, okay? Like we were getting a legal dissertation in contract negotiations, and it was all about, can you find the right window of risk for the team and risk for the player? And I think that's a really hard thing for both those sides to match. Now, the thing about Vladdy is there's two ways you can look at this, in my opinion, of what he said from his perspective. Mm-hmm. You can take it from one of Vladdy is just like a pretty free and open guy with the people he trusts. And I think we do have some of that. Like I can't think of any off the top of my head, but how many scoops has Marley Rivera got coming out of the Vladdy camp? We know that he is forthright with the people he trusts. Now, this could just be a case of somebody asked him a question. Yeah, I love Toronto. I'd love to talk. Why don't we talk this summer? Mm-hmm. It's great. If it's just as simple as that, then I think it's just a guy saying, I like being here. I don't want to fan any flames. We see what happened with Soto. We see what's going on with Judge right now. You don't want to get to that point. So you can look at it that way. But if you choose to look at it like a little more of a calculating move, this is a guy saying, let's put the pressure on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pressure on Vladdy to take a great deal with the Blue Jays. There's no pressure on him to sign. No, but there is no worry that if he doesn't get a deal done this winter, that he's gone and we're going to be in a Soto situation. That's not happening here. So I think if it is a calculating move from Vladdy's side, which, again, I don't know that it is. It's entirely possible. He was just talking with a reporter he trusts and was being forthright and honest with him. But if it's a calculating move, it's saying, who's now the pressure on to get a deal done? If the rumor comes out that Blue Jays and Vladdy aren't closed or there's been not that much progress on talks, we know the way people can get about this team and this front office and spending money, that it could kind of quickly get to like pitchforks and mobs and all of that and give Vladdy his deal. Like, it could very quickly get there. So I think if you choose to look at it that way, it's a guy in Vladdy's position putting a little pressure on the Jays to pony up what we imagine is a big, big ticket deal. I mean, you know, I don't think he's had the run that Soto has had. Obviously, there's a World Series in there and there's a longer track record. But Juan Soto turned down $400 million. $400 million he turned it down. Vladdy's not going to be that much older when he's set to hit free agency. I believe it's 1 year older than that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's a $400 million contract that Vladdy's looking at, but if it came out that it was $100 million less than Soto and they weren't willing to do it or something like that, how do people react? So I think it's really interesting that the news comes out. And honestly, because of the way Vladdy is, and I just say that as he just seems like a really fun-loving, open guy. If this would have come from Vladdy's agent, I look at it only as cold and calculating. But because it comes from the guy himself, I honestly don't know how to take it.
I agree. And I think that the biggest conversation that came from this was like, okay, if he's ready to talk contract, what's he getting? And then I get to the Soto situation as well. If he's turning down $400 million and he's a little younger than Vlad, he's a triple crown candidate, He plays right field, though, and it's tough to start to evaluate what you would give Vladimir Guerrero Jr. because there's a couple factors that I take into account. He's a first baseman, and if you look at all the young guys that are getting bank right now, like Wander Franco, who signed. So this is some of the most recent young guns. Wander Franco, 11 years, $182 million. Julio Rodriguez, 12 years, $209 million. He's 21 years old. Both of those guys, 21. Tatis Jr., we know that one. 14 years, $340 million. He's 23. And Ronald Acuna, 8 years, $100 million. So those are the young guys. He's 24. Those are the young guns that have gotten paid lately. Nobody's playing a non-premium position. Vladdy's first base. I think, okay, so when you evaluate the Vladdy, I think there's a lot of factors such as he's the face potentially of this franchise moving forward for a very long time. He's doing things right now that no other Blue Jay has done and no other, 20 whatever year old has done. 100 home runs just the other day, so it's very timely. And are you willing to pay a first baseman $250 to $300 million just because that's never really, really been done? That's the kind of conversation that is tricky because you think you want to lock Vladdy in this position, but what is that dollar amount that makes sense considering all the factors?
Yeah, the other part of it, no, that it is all a tough thing, and the position definitely. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing I'll give Vladdy credit for in this is we do not have anywhere near at all the concerns about his body that we had when he was coming up. Like when you think, oh, he's a first baseman. Now the problem is there's nowhere else for him to go. Like Vladdy Jr. is not playing right field. He's not playing left field. He's playing first base or he's DH. So you are kind of locked in there in the long term. The other thing about those deals now, they like especially the Rodriguez one, it has obviously a much lower total dollar figure than what you're looking at for the rumored money for Soto or anything like that. But they're buying up all of his controllable years. Vladdy only has 3 left, whereas with Rodriguez, I believe they bought up at least 5 controllable years there. So obviously that's going to drive down the price. Now, again, wouldn't we all love to have our contract driven down in price and still be worth 200 mil? But yeah, that's the kind of interesting thing that all of these comparables, the position plays a part in it, the fact that how many years you have left of ARB or team control, that's going to go into it. And the other part of it for the Blue Jays is that does increase the impetus to get a deal done a little sooner because now it's not like Vladdy's making no money as an ARB player, but he's going to get his raise this year. But if you include arbitration years in the contract that you do, as opposed to taking it right to UFA, you're going to be able to knock that dollar figure down a little bit. So it's a scenario where it is far from they have to get it done this winter. It has to get hammered out. But if they don't, all of a sudden, maybe not the total dollar figure, but the per year figure absolutely starts ticking up on that. So that'll be really interesting to kind of see how that plays out as well. And again, it's now that the cat's out of the bag, pressure's on. Like
on Vladdy too.
Pressure is on Vladdy. And the other part of this is how does the year go? How does the playoffs go? If this is a team that goes on a deep run, Matt Chapman is hitting bombs into deep October and Manoa's woofing at guys in the ALCS, there's no pressure to get a deal done for Vladdy this year. But if there's some world where Vladdy is the North Star and is playing amazing and is hitting above what we expect from him and the rest of the team doesn't show up and they bow out early or don't have the results you want in the playoffs, then there is going to be the pressure to say, well, this guy's proven he can do it. Why don't you lock that guy in? And we're restless because it didn't go the way we want. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how the rest of his season goes and how the Blue Jays season goes, how much that'll impact not the negotiations, but kind of the tenor from the fan base around them.
A lot of people saying, just pay him $450. I don't think that's the ballpark that I would be comfortable in. I don't know. I think $300. For me, like that was the first number that came to me. Start around $350 and see where that goes. $400 is just so extreme in an amount of money that a Vladdy would have been expected maybe last year with his MVP year. Does the recency bias start to change how you feel? It's not a Vladdy year that we saw last year. I still think that the ceiling is incredibly high for Vladdy. I just think this will be a very interesting storyline to fill for the next year at least, or off season as you mentioned, of what he could get potentially. I think it's a great text line question because everybody is an accountant. So send it
I'd love to hear on the text line what people think he's going to get paid. And it's just, it's a really interesting number because it's all the stuff you mentioned. It's the position, it's the age, it's the amount of years you're buying up. It is.
It's also that it's Vladdy.
Well, that's the thing. Tough. He's the face of the franchise. And the other part of this too, and I don't know that you can build a baseball team solely thinking about these things, but that guy's one of the most popular players in baseball. Like, you saw him at the All-Star game. Everybody wants to be around him. And I'm not saying you pay him more than he's worth so that you can get guys, because I imagine paying him more than he's worth inhibits your ability to go out and get other players. But if you're looking at a recruiting tool or something like that, I can imagine few better in baseball than Vladdy. So, yeah, it's interesting to see. I cannot wait to see these numbers start getting bandied about, because there's no way that he throws this kind of chum in the water. And we just carry on about our day. I imagine this will be a big talking point across baseball today.
And Bo and Manoa being in that same. And Ross Stripling. Everybody needs money.
Everybody needs money.
We'll see what Vladdy thinks. Text in 590-590. If you're in the negotiating room, where are you starting with the Vladdy contract? It'll be a fun one. Okay, so Thursday night football as well last night. No conflict with your viewing time with the Toronto Blue Jays. Nope. You get to erase the 11-0 thoughts from your mind. First Amazon game. That pick six, though.
Brutal.
Brutal in one sense, but also amazing in one sense. Like, I was just I stood up off my couch to watch that 99-yard sprint. I guess that this major turning point of the game, of course, 7th-round pick Jalen Watson. I calculated how long it took.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, just watch the video.
Okay. I was going to say, get the equations out, glasses.
It took around 12 seconds, but he slowed down at the very end.
Okay.
How long do you think it would take you to run 99 yards?
I think the absolute floor we start with is doubling that. Like, there's no way that guy is not twice as fast as me. I think it's fair to say.
I would say I'm like 3-4 times.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Well, because the problem is like, I feel like he would be twice as fast than me for the first 25 to 30 yards, and then I am cooked.
The stamina.
Done. You know, the more I think about it, the only way I'm getting to the 100 yards is if a team full of NFL guys is trying to kill me. Like, it's the old, like, it's like you can run faster away from a bear than you just could if you're running, like, get the adrenaline going. So I actually think, yeah, we have to at least double or triple it, because yeah, I'm not as fast as even a 7th-round pick. You know, I don't have those wheels even in the NFL.
I honestly, when I watched this, I thought maybe this weekend I would just like go time myself and just like not tell anyone, just like go to the nearby football field, like U of T, and just be like, hey, I'm just gonna go out here and just like run 99 yards. I have literally no idea. I think I'm in the same par as, like, I think my first 20 yards would be pretty good. Like, I could get cooking there. It's like explosive speed as a hockey player, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And then it would go downhill quick.
Not to brag, but I do get on these occasional jogging kicks. It's been a while since I've been on one. And if you would have asked me this question, the nonsensical, cocky answer I would have given you if I had been in one of my jogging fields, I would have been like, I don't know. I'm probably right there with them, quite honestly. But yeah, not a chance. Not a chance.
Like over under 32 seconds.
32.
He did it in 12. No, I'm going to say over under 8.5.
Oh, I'm scraping under 38 without a shadow of a doubt. I'm doing it. I need something at the end. Like, I need something I cherish dearly. Like
something sitting there at the end.
Like some
your family.
Yeah, I see my family every day. What about like a Ooh. Cold pint on a hot day? That if that was sitting there at the end, oh yeah.
You know what we always talk about when you're on? I don't know how it's like inevitable. Is like the best beers.
It's inevitable.
No one's ever said post 99-yard sprint.
That's true.
Cold beer sitting there in the end zone.
I'm a trendsetter.
That could be a new thing. All right. Well, I'm also texting.
And you know what? I realize it's possible in some of these NFL stadiums. Like, they all have like the bougie seating behind, like where it's like, oh, it's a nightclub right behind the end zone in the Raiders stadium. So it's like there would be a cool draft beer sitting right there for me. Now I'd have to go like 115 yards because you got to get through the end zone and all that. But I would go the extra mile or, you know, 20 feet for a cold draft beer for sure.
All right. We might have to make this a thing. Get Sportsnet 590. They're
digital,
live streaming.
Get on it. Let's go.
Get Sportsnet to come cover it. A 590 race between all the hosts. 99 yards.
Oh, see, I'm so happy, Jay. I'm so happy JD's not here.
Oh, he would literally say that he would get there in 15 seconds.
I can hear, like, he's not here, and I can hear him barking in my ear about how fast he is.
I love it. Okay, so Herbert with the absolute wincing in pain injury that happened late in the game. That's scary. He's also my QB, my fantasy football team. That aside, not a great feeling, not a great look. I know fans are feeling pretty anxious about it. He's getting x-rays. He did grind it out at the end of that game. Maybe why are we putting your franchise quarterback in that? Like, why was he still playing was kind of one of the questions that I had. Whatever buddy's name is, that backup quarterback that makes bank just by the floating around the league, he could possibly be the guy now. I don't know. Just thoughts and feelings on seeing that and the anxiety now. But he's got 10 days to rest.
I'm such of two minds on it. I love Herbert. Like, he is the guy. Yeah. I genuinely think if you just gave me any quarterback, like, and I know Josh Allen's right there. I know, and I probably should say him, but it's Herbert. Like, I just love the way he could spin it. I love the throws he can make. But I'll be honest, like, and I know, look, he's hurt. It's like, I know he's not faking it or anything. But that, it was a 4th-and-1 or a 4th-and-2, and he tries to roll out, and he just like duck hooks the ball out of bounds. He just like shot puts it.
That was tough to see.
That was really tough to see. But then 2 plays later, he steps up and throws an absolute seed 35 yards right on the hash marks. Like, his ability to step up and make throws is incredible. Tough to see, but I think it's a division game. Like, the unfortunate thing for the Chargers is, like, now that you've lost that game and you can't really afford many more stumbles in that division. It's so loaded that I did think you kind of had to leave Herbert there and see what happens. You got the extra couple days of rest, and it's amazing how many times we think a guy's dead in the NFL, and it's like, oh, there he is. Like, look at Dak, right? Like, it's like, oh, he's not going to play, and it's like, he's at practice already this week. Like, these guys, they're all Wolverine. Their ability to heal themselves is incredible.
Yeah, well,
and a lot of drugs. Like, let's be clear about that. Like, a lot of Toradol and all types of stuff that you or I should never touch. Like, it's grit, it's moxie. It's a lot of painkillers as well.
Yeah, they've certainly got him set up for feeling nothing. Yeah, for nothing. The next 10 days, icing, resting the ribs. If there's an actual break or so, it's going to be a little bit harder to inject anything into that. If it's muscle, different story, but not a great feeling. Obviously, losing your center and right tackle, like, he was just so exposed. Couldn't protect him. He was hit, I think, 8 times. Those last ones ending the game were rough to see. I just think it was a tough ending for a team that, you know, kind of did control the game in the beginning of it. There was a lot of positive. I mean, I came into this game thinking this was going to be like the QB showdown of the year. A little bit of a slow start, like, a little bit of a sleeper to begin, but Patrick Mahomes again, like, just absolute weapon, dialed in. I don't know why we hadn't really given him the airtime that we should have. Maybe it was just because it's the Josh Allen show this summer, but I don't know. He seems to just continue to be the guy that you can bet on, and I don't see that going anywhere. The Chiefs look super dangerous.
No, his ability to throw from different arm angles, like, he had that one little sidearm throw. You want to talk about a guy looking like Adam Simber? He was the poster boy for it, right there. You love what he can do, and yeah, it was a slow start for him. But how many times have we seen this? Like, how many times the Chiefs been down late and it's 2 scores? And, you know, we talk about Brady's ability to come back with 9 seconds left and no timeouts and somehow 130 yards to go, even though the field's only 100 yards long, and he can do it. And Mahomes' thing is, man, he's down 3 scores and there's 14 minutes left, and you should not even blink thinking about this. Like, his ability to come back is incredible. The fact that that offense has looked the way it's looked without Hill, that's been great to see. And yeah, look, if Herbert, even if he just gets picked off there and it's not the pick six, it's a completely different game. But he did, and it is a game of breaks. Like, Mahomes nearly got picked off on what was a really important drive for them, but Asante Samuel Jr. dropped the ball.
That would have been, like, the same situation for both teams. And look at one capitalizes and one doesn't, and that's exactly the game of football.
It's a game of breaks, and look, Mahomes, like, did he make a bad throw? Did he get picked off? Yeah, he did, but they weren't able to hold on, and you have to take advantage of the breaks you get. So he got a big one there. He drives down, he scores. Herbert doesn't get as lucky, and hey, look, it's not luck. Don't throw the ball to the guy, but he doesn't get as lucky. It's the pick six, and yeah, there we are, and that's pretty much the game right there.
Week one, Travis Kelce was, like, the guy, and it kind of made you forget about players that are no longer – on the Chiefs. He had quite a night, though, and they were still able to find a way to win.
He got smoked on that one hit. The guy, like, suplexed him. Loved it.
Yeah, it was like Thursday Night Raw.
It really was.
That was what people were saying. Find a way to win. That's kind of the Chiefs in general. I don't know if there's a game that you're most looking forward to this weekend now, moving through Thursday Night Football and feeling like, hey, that one was kind of the premier matchup quarterback-wise that we were hyping up. Yeah,
that was easily the game I was most excited about this week. Honestly, like looking ahead, there are some like kind of interesting ones, like Ravens Dolphins. I don't think that's going to be the best game of the week, but I feel like we can find a lot out about the Dolphins in that game. Like they looked pretty good in Week One, but you know it was the Patriots, and we don't really know what the Patriots are. Monday Nighter Bills Titans should be good, but yeah, I think as far as the Sunday games go, honestly, Ravens Dolphins is probably the one that's most interesting to me. It's kind of I don't want to get too nitpicky. We're just 2 weeks into the season here, but not a lot of sexy games on that sked. I'm just looking
at it. But a double Monday night football.
We do love that. We do
tough
love
for
a
viewing,
late night
but...
Monday nighter. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe for grinders who are up in the morning, but
yeah,
I'll no
be
longer
fine,
be doing
yeah.
that next week. So That's there you right.
go. We have Charles Davis on at 7. He's doing Patriots Steelers, so more on that and kind of the chaos that he got to cover. He was at Bengals Steelers last week. Which was, I honestly think, I wonder if that's the top of his, like, most obscure games he's ever called.
It's got to be. It's got to
like
be near the top.
Right? Like, that was once in a lifetime. Seeing what Mac Jones has, I think that's a really interesting narrative going into this weekend as well. He's coming off somewhat of an injury question. He's going to be covering that. And I think that game's really interesting to me because, we have the Seahawks also later that day. What's going to happen with Geno Smith, like, is he the second coming
of Brady?
I think
he's going to suck. Just to be clear, I'm going to get really
I'm
far ahead
of this.
I'm
kind of excited about that with Trey Lance and Geno Smith on Sunday.
Going out on a limb, I think he sucks still. We have a lot of track record. We've seen guys have
what
the game of their life
before. What a
beautiful
story that could be, Brent. Come on.
And it was. Yeah, look, it still
it's
was.
Over.
He will always have Monday night and... They wrote me off. I didn't read the book or whatever. It was a great line.
They wrote me off and I ain't right back.
Okay, it was a great line. Like
so
all
good.
Credit
Bars.
To him. If that's the best moment of his NFL career, get on him. And here's the thing. It might be.
Yeah. You don't think that he can outplay Trey Lance?
I think it's possible he can outplay Trey Lance.
There you
I
go.
Think he's gonna be fighting for his life against that Niners defense. Yeah. That's where fight for my life out here is what I think it's gonna look like.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good. Okay, we'll set up more of week two and this weekend, get a little insight from Charles Davis. Also, we got Ben Lewis on. Big retirement in
tennis weapon.
Man,
he's a tennis
grinder for Sportsnet. Obviously Federer yesterday live on the Ailish Hour. When he announced his retirement.
He came on?
Yeah, no.
He called
I wish.
Oh.
No, imagine. If
From
I ever got Federer or Serena on my show, I think I would just like not even be able to talk. But yes, yesterday morning announces his retirement. We'll get into that. And then we got Tim Leeper at 8 to talk some Blue Jays, the series ahead. Does maybe like ending a series on a stinker kind of change the way you approach this weekend and the vibes? He would know. But next, we got the A-list. A Friday edition of the A-List. It's the Fan Morning Show with Brent and Ailish. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. On the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brent filling in today.
You better have jumped in there. Karaoke was about to start.
I was about to start
it. That's hitting me right in the. I'm trying to think. What are we thinking? I'm 11 or so. When that's been. Oh my!
I had a CD player with this.
Yeah.
Like you know the Walkman.
Oh yeah.
I remember in grade 4 specifically having it in. You know when the desks had like the little under part.
Oh yeah.
I remember having my Walkman. In there, and I put the headphone cord through my sweater, and I put my head, my hand, and my on my ear, and rested it, and I could listen to music in grade. I remember grade 4 specifically. My teacher, Mr. Weidman, Hopefully he's not listening.
Shouts.
Yeah, and I would put my hand on my ear and rest my head, and I would listen to music in class. And look at me now.
Huge.
Still managed to make it through. But good. It's a sneaky way. Now people have AirPods.
Maybe somebody's listening to you in class now. Maybe they're just such a dedicated Ailish Hour listener that
that's
it's
really
like
sweet.
It's grade 9 English, and they're like, oh, what did Shakespeare think? And it's like, hold on. Ailish is getting into Vladdy's contract here. I gotta hear it.
Well, now there's AirPods, so it's so much easier. You can just put your hair down. You can have a pod in.
I was gonna say, like, this is and like, you know, a lot of people have long hair now, but I did not in my teen years. Never could have hit it. But now, pandemic hair, I could easily hide an AirPod.
Onto something.
Sure.
Not to condone this for the youngins listening, going to class, but.
You don't have to. I will. I'll do it.
There's a way. To continue to listen to the Fan Morning Show podcast.
Hey, look, I didn't pay attention in school, and look where I am, folks. Take it or leave it. Do with that what you will. I don't know.
You could still go to Dartmouth. They let you in.
There you go.
With your poor grades.
You could still flunk out of the University of Windsor, kids. You could do it. You could do it. And then have a very successful academic career at Humber College. You could do it, kids.
Hell yeah. All right. Do you believe in curses?
Oh, I'm a Leaf fan. I gotta.
Fits in line with first up on the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Well, you set it up perfect. Curses in the Maple Leafs. EA Sports released a video yesterday outlining all the new and improved interactive features coming to NHL 23. When they made this preview, they zoom in to the Stanley Cup that is, you know, revolving on the screen. It's beautiful. It's great. It's great visuals. EA Sports, you know, they did a wonderful job. And they zoom into the Stanley Cup, and there it says, Toronto Maple Leafs 2022-2023, engraved into the beautiful silver of the Stanley Cup. They zoom right in there, and obviously they know what they're doing. Screenshot central, retweet central. Is this a curse, or maybe this is a reverse curse that we often bring up on the show?
No, this isn't a reverse curse. Oh. This is this bad omen. Don't like it one bit.
And they know. No! God, please, no! No!
And they knew what they were doing because people like me who would like to see that in real life one day, they don't want any part of this. And everybody else who hates people like me and don't want the Leafs to succeed, they love it. It's Christmas for them. This is the equivalent of like having the Dallas Cowboys win it in like a Madden trailer. It is what it is. It's extra cursey. And yeah, I hate it. I do not like it one iota, and I believe in curses big time. So yes, I do not like it, and I do think it's a terrible omen.
I think that maybe the fact that they haven't had playoff success, this is the thing that actually breaks that curse. They've never been in this position with EA Sports. Maybe EA Sports will be something to praise come playoff time. Remember when they put them on the cup?
I don't think in 67 they were doing NHL 67.
That would be sick.
And the Chief, George Armstrong on the cover. I don't think so. I don't think that was happening. Maybe. I don't know. I don't love it. I don't like it.
Sorry about that.
You know what they need? They need a bounce one time in their life. That's what they need. And I don't think this is helping.
Could be the year, Brent.
Okay.
Could be the year. Then we might look back on this conversation.
By the time the Leafs are 1-0 after stomping Montreal on opening night, I will be screaming our year and telling you this. But right now, I can't get myself
there. I can't wait. Okay, speaking of curses, Matt Ryan just haunted by a specific game in his life.
28-3.
He became the 8th player to pass for 60,000 yards in his career.
Congrats.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame took that beautiful football to Canton. And every single ball in the NFL has a specific number on it, which is wonderful.
That's nice.
The number that Matt Ryan hit this milestone with
so good
is number 283.
Amazing. That's phenomenal.
283. That's if you put a hyphen in 28-3, it is probably...
You get the greatest choke job of all time.
The worst day in Matt Ryan's career is now affiliated with this historical moment that he got to share with his team and his loved ones, and it is now tainted forever.
This is a weird thing to say for a guy who just became the eighth guy to do something in NFL history. Does it not kind of suck to be Matt Ryan? Like, you're so successful. Everyone, 99.9% of the world would kill to be in the position you're in. But everyone who cares about your profession is like, just not good enough. Just not a guy who could get it done and choked in the biggest spot. Like, think about how successful in the, not life, but like NFL world Matt Ryan has been. And, loser who could never win anything. Like, it is amazing how you could be so successful and have that stuck on you, rightfully so.
I just, that is an outstanding coincidence. Like, I don't know if there's anything... This
sports
season,
gods hate Matt Ryan. That's what that tells me. You want to say curses?
You think? Yeah.
Has to be.
It's rough. He's never going to outrun that. I feel for the guy. Okay, more numbers. Wow, we're just going through the numbers and the curses. But nearly two decades since Michael Jordan took part in a pretty historic NBA game. His game one jersey from the 1998 NBA Finals. Recently went up for sale at Sotheby's. And sometimes we bring up auction items on this show because
I love these stories.
They're always outrageous. Like, you're like, who has this money? The basketball jersey broke records as the highest ever price for any game worn sports memorabilia ever.
Really?
$10.1 million.
Wow.
$10.1 million.
I mean, if you've got that, what is that the equivalent of to you? Like, it's somebody who can, it's just like, guys love Jordan, I guess, is what that tells me. If you would have told me what's the most expensive, I don't know that I would have landed there. I'm not shocked that it is Jordan just because of how much people love him and the lionization and he's the man and all that. But man, 10, over 10 for a jersey, for a sweaty jersey at that. That's nuts.
I always wonder, like, who purchased this. Like, obviously, it's going to be some it could be Drake. Like, no idea. It could be somebody of significance. It's going to hang up on his. I know you've seen Drake. Like, he's got this hallway with. It's like kind of funky, but it's got this hallway with all these sports memorabilia framed. I wouldn't be surprised to see this, honestly. There, this is the iconic Last Dance. There's a lot about this game and this series that is extremely important, but $10.1 million is an incredible amount of money.
The more I think about it, it is an incredible amount of money, but the more I think about it, it's like, Jordan would have the most, the record selling, because I'm trying to think, like, who are other athletes that just have that hold on people? I mean, like, you know, Federer's going to retire right now.
Maybe there's a Wayne Gretzky jersey.
Maybe there is. Yeah.
I don't think it would go for $10 million.
I don't think so either. I don't. And I think that's just like economic. This is, now I'm sounding like Blake here. It's like, this is like economics of scale. And that's, it's what it is. It's just like, there are more basketball fans on the planet than there are hockey fans, therefore you have more higher net worth individuals typically. Like, it's just, but I think it'd have to be Gretzky, Jordan. Like, I'm just trying to think of those guys that have that hold on people. Like, I know Tiger Woods just had like a golf bag from one of his iconic seasons.
Oh, that's
sold,
cool.
And it was 5.5. And it's like the fact, like, Jordan's, and I know it's like a golf bag. Like, if it was the Tiger Woods putter from a certain major, it probably gets up to 10 or whatever it is. Like, I get that. But yeah, the fact that Jordan's worth double what Tiger memorabilia is worth, like, those are guys that I kind of place in the same ballpark. That's crazy.
Good text question here. Connor and Vaughn, what would we set the over under at for millions for Tiger's 2018 Masters jacket?
Oh, if it's 10 for a Jordan jersey, then the Masters jacket has to be at least, it starts there.
You think?
For sure. Because you can buy a Michael Jordan replica jersey. You can buy signed Michael Jordan stuff. The green jacket, there are guys who just hold golf tournaments for their friends that have got cease and desist letters because they give out green jackets in the ceremony. Like, it is among the most protected things in the world. You're not allowed to take it off the property other than in the year you own it. Like, it's just the sheer scarcity of it, I think, and the fact that it's that one. Like, I think for every guy of anywhere between their kind of 20s and mid 40s to 50s. If you care about golf, that Tiger Masters win was the greatest thing you'll ever see in the sport. So yeah, I think it has to start at 10, and I'm taking the over, quite honestly.
Wow, I didn't think about it until you sold me on it. I was just, because I have up in front of me the most expensive sports memorabilia in terms of game worn, or we have Babe Ruth's 1920 jersey. $4.4 million.
Yeah, pocket change.
There's a couple ones, like home run balls go for a while, like specific yeah. baseball things are very high up in this list, but like Muhammad Ali's gloves, another Babe Ruth thing. But yeah, this blew everything out of the water. $10
million. This is completely, this is a different level, but I remember, I think it was the Cubs. They like bought the ball that Bartman caught, or like a bar in Chicago bought the ball that Bartman caught to blow it up, to like exercise the curse.
Oh my God.
If I don't know what the item is. But like maybe it's Corey Perry's shin pad from when he kneed Tavares in the head. Maybe it's the puck that Bergeron scored back in 2013. There needs to be something from the Leafs that we can buy from their demonous past.
I like that.
We can buy to blow up, to reverse the curse. So I don't know what the item is, but whatever it is, there's no amount of money that is too high to pay for that. If it would get rid of the curse.
I love that question. What would you auction?
What's the item? I don't know what it is. I don't know what the item is.
The David Ayers jersey.
Oh, that's a good, I don't even, I like you, so I'll allow you to say his name, but I don't even like hearing it. I don't know. He who shall not be named. There was too much Ayers talk afterwards, going down to Carolina, ringing their horn. Yeah. Leafs employee, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
That's
Ayers jersey. Fire it into the sun.
That would change everything. All right, so text in 590-590. What would you want to blow up to help with the curses? Let us know. Charles Davis after the break. He's got Patriots Steelers this Sunday. Let's talk about that Bengals game that he got to call last weekend. That was one of a kind. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Brenton Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.